hurt, and is out of it are the issues of life. So we need to remember that it's not always the behavior that we need to correct. It's what's in the heart that we need to do so. Also, we want to understand the specific content of the abundance of the heart, what's causing this behavior, what is in the heart, good or bad. We just want, and we'll talk again more about this, but we do want to understand our child's heart or our children's heart. And then number three, the internal issues of the heart are of greater importance than the specifics of behavior, since they drive behavior. And also we looked at Proverbs 20, verse 5, last week as far as the behavior. Of course, the behavior a lot of times gets all the attention. And why? Why do we focus on behavior?
It's more obvious.
What we see is tangible. It's something that we can we see, and that's what we tend to jump on. And should we be correcting behavior? Sure, we should. We should be, and we'll look at that. That is a correction, is a form of communication. But we have to remember it's the heart that's causing behavior. Of course, we talked about communication is a dialogue. It's not always a monologue. It's that dialogue. If I'm communicating with Terry, if I want to find out his day, I need to let Terry talk and tell me about his day. And if he's not, I sometimes, you know how it is with your children. Sometimes you do have to ask some questions to get some information out of them. And of course, the older they get, the more it's like this. And of course, those of you that have more than one child, you know, every child is different in every situation, different things. And we'll look at that also. But it is that we have to understand communication is a dialogue. Of course, we need to understand our children. We need to be careful. Proverbs 18:2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. How often are we guilty of this, especially when it comes to our children? And we don't truly understand why they did what they did, and sometimes we do as far as correct because it's our opinion of what we're seeing. And then, of course, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, a folly and shame unto him. And this is a whole, so not only with raising children, but also in just life and in our reaction with each other, in our communication with other adults. This is so true. And so many times do we, when something's said to us, and before we know the whole matter, we want to answer it right away. And, of course, Solomon talks about that in Proverbs. All right. Last week, we ended. We talked about three modes of communication. And we're used to this. And myself as a teacher, I'm used to this. And those of you that have had, you know, any kind of, whether it's, of course, you know, raising children or in a group setting or whatever, you always have rules, right? You always set up boundaries. You set up different things. This is a rule. Rule number one, rule number two, rule number three. You know, whatever those rules are. And it's important. It's important for people to see rules and so forth. And then we have correction. Someone breaks that rule, and they need to be corrected. This is Terry, this is what you did wrong. You're chewing gum. You're not supposed to chew gum in my classroom. That's wrong. No chewing. You get it on the carpet. I step on it. I take it out in the hallway. I get it on the gym floor, and we don't want it on the gym floor. But anyway,
cheesecake.
What's that? A cheesecake. Cheesecake. But anyway, we're correcting, right? And then what happens? We discipline. Okay, you know, Terry, go stand in the corner or go put your nose. Remember those teachers that used to draw circles? You ever had a teacher that used to draw a circle on the board and you had to put your nose in that circle? Anybody had a teacher like that? I did that one time too. I had a seventh grade. Oh, but anyway, I did have a seventh grade boy that was just all just talking. I did that one time. So I drew a circle on the board and had him. It was Daniel Pitty. It was the same guy. Go there. Remember Daniel? Remember Daniel Pitty? Daniel, if you're listening, I remember you, Daniel. But anyway, good boy. Good boy. But anyway, rules, correction, discipline. We are disciplining there's a infraction that's gone on, there's something that we've got to take. But these are three types of communication that we know well, right, as parents. A lot of times, and sometimes we stop. We stop with these three types of communication. But believe it or not, there are more than these. And we'll discuss several of these today. Not only do we have the three, and those three are important, but we also have encouragement, correction, rebuke, entreaty, instruction, warning, teaching, and then, of course, prayer. But these are different types of communication. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Let me show you an example here of the Apostle Paul using different types of communication. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. And Paul is concluding his letter here, his first letter to the church there at Thessalonica. And, of course, he's not talking to children. He could be talking to children, but he's talking to adults. He's talking to the church here. And I realize that, but also I just want to use this as an example of how Paul communicates different ways, different times. But here, if we look at, we'll start at verse 12 here in chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and to be at peace among yourself." Look at verse 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men." Notice he uses several different words to explain or to communicate to different people. First of all, he's telling them to warn different people, right? Warnings. We should be warning our children, communicating a warning. Encourage. He's encouraging some people here, helping some people. And then we should see that he's patient. And notice here, what does he say about being patient? Notice the phrase. Is it just be patient to the weak? Be patient to the strong?
Everyone.
We need to be patient, and that's hard to do. And especially sometimes with our children.
You have to be driving.
Especially driving. Especially here in Fayetteville. So we see different types of communication. Well, let's look at them. First of all, encouragement. Encouragement. Children need communication designed to inspire and fill with hope and courage. You need to help them understand the promises of God. Why do our children need encouragement? Why do they need encouragement?
It makes them want to do more.
Okay. Makes them want to do more.
They can be overwhelmed with that.
They can be overwhelmed with different things, with whether it's their behavior or what have you. Right? What else?
Build confidence.
Confidence. Good.
More than encouraging, they feel confident, secure in their business.
Okay.
Self-esteem.
Okay. Self-esteem. Good. Good. Again, we've had, I'm sure, children or seen children, other children, where they get frustrated, and sometimes they act out of frustration, their behavior, because they are frustrated with something. Whether they think, you know, no one cares or no one, you know, sometimes. Instead of giving a stiff rebuke, they need that encouragement. Now, not always, and we'll get to rebuke here in just a little bit, but sometimes our children do need an encouraging word. I believe, and you have every right to disagree with me, but I believe parenting is so much like coaching, and coaching is so much like parenting. And I know I've coached for many years. I've been around athletics, and so I've said this, you know, many times in the last several weeks talking about this. But as a parent, you are many things. You are much more than just disciplining. You are much more than just correcting. I mean, we've got to be an encourager. We've got to inspire and to want them to, so they will do more. So they won't get frustrated. So they won't quit. So they won't. I mean, we are here to encourage them. So there's these modes of communication that we need to understand. And we've got to understand there are different times when they need encouragement, and there's some times they need a rebuke. And there's some times where they need correction, teaching. But we have to, it goes back to understanding. That goes back to the time that it takes to know and the wisdom that we need to know what is needed at that specific time. Correction. Children should be held to a standard. What holds them to that standard? What does 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 state? It states what the Word of God is for, and part of that, what the Word of God is for correction. Right? And so we need to be correcting our children. They need to see what you're doing is wrong because it doesn't meet this standard. So as far as our communication, yes, communication is part, correcting is part of our communication that we need to, you know, we need to set a standard. Should we be encouraging? Yes. Yes. But we also need to correct them. They need to see what they're doing wrong. And I know sometimes we have to say, you know, if they say why, we say, well, because Dad said so. Has anyone else said that in here? Besides myself? Sometimes there comes a time you say that. Okay? But also, I think there's several times that you need to take the time and explain them why you are correcting them. And again, the Word of God is where we get where correction is from. It is a function of, yes, it's there to edify, but it's also there to correct. So we have correction. Here. What else? Rebuke. Rebuke. What is a rebuke? What is a rebuke? It's a form of correction, right? But it's a little stronger, isn't it? Isn't it? Your child acts out in public or says something around the family that he shouldn't have said. Well, you can't, oh, Johnny, you know, I encourage you to not say that. You know, no, sometimes your child needs a strong rebuke. He needs to understand that what he's...
You saying we should beat our children?
I didn't say that, Bob. That's next week. But anyway.
It's more of a condemnation of the behavior.
Sure. So, sometimes our children, they need to see the shock in our face. Like, I can't believe you did that, Terry. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. As a parent, you know, go ahead, Pete. You know, as a parent, sometimes you can use a rebuke and just put a look. You know, you can look at your child a certain way, like, don't you dare. What are you thinking? And that can be enough without
verbalizing that. Right.
You can just take one look and your child will go, oh, I know I did something wrong.
Right. But Keith, how do we know that? How do we know that sometimes it just takes a look? We have to what?
We have to enforce standards.
Right. And we have to understand our children, too.
We have to understand our children. And
right.
Because, unfortunately, the apple does not fall too far away from the tree.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So you can sense, you can sense when a child is doing something that's outside of the norm that's totally abstract.
Sure.
And totally outside of standards.
Right.
We can take a look. And mothers are Vernon's perfect example. She can just take a look at one of our own. They're grown out, but one of them, they get right back in line. Quick.
Yeah. That's true. And but we need that rebuke, that strong, you know, as far as to sense that behavior right away. And then, of course, you know, we follow up. This is, you know, this is why I got on to you. This is, we don't just leave it like that. We still have to explain.
Sure.
But they do need that strong, need to see that strong rebuke and that strong. And again, that goes back to understanding our children, knowing what they need at that time. Intrigue. Now, what is this? Notice I had to look this up to really understand this. But this is a desire, a plea, almost turn with me to Proverbs. Proverbs 23. I'll show an example of Solomon here. Proverbs 23. It's like, and I have it written here, this communication that is earnest and intense. Look at Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs 23. Here, Proverbs 23. Verse 24. It says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." Look at verse 26. "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." I mean, you can almost hear this father pleading to his son. You know, turn your heart towards me. Let me have your heart. It's an intense desire. I mean, your children need to see that intense love that you have for them. I mean, it's just not a casual, conversation here. This is something where it's something that your child sees your desire for them to do what is right. And they need to see that. They need to see that form of, now do they need to see it all the time? No. But they need to see that intense desire that you have for them. Even though you know it's there all the time, that you want your child to do what's right. You want your child to glorify God in all that they do. But they won't know that until you tell them. And it comes from your heart to theirs. Instruction. And again, this is one of those things that it's a... We've got to be ready. We've got to be watching. We've always got to be looking for instruction. This is providing a lesson or a precept or information that will help your children to understand their world. Whether you're at the mall and you see something or someone says something, or sometimes you've got to stop and explain. Well, this is what happened. What are you giving your children? You're giving them instruction. So, and a lot of times they will remember things if they see it, and then you instruct them. And sometimes the instruction needs to come before they see it, especially if you're not there. But this is an instruction, something that they can take away. We talked about their behavior being tangible, but a lot of times your instruction needs to be that way. As a teacher, you realize I have several teachers in here, and those of you that taught before. As a teacher, you're always looking for ways where your students can see things, and they tend to remember things if they can actually see it, and if you can, you know, describe it with an object or something. Well, same thing with your children. They need to see through instruction, and also we've mentioned warnings. Warnings, and here, and because of we're almost out of time here, but we see where Proverbs and they're not only in these verses here, but time after time after time, where Solomon is giving a warning to his son. You know, be careful of this, or be careful of this, or this may happen. Be careful of this person. Be careful of this, you know, substance. Be careful of this. What is he doing? He is warning. And when does a warning come into play? Does something happen and then we warn?
No, it's before.
It's like a sign that says, you know, road closed. Well, they don't put the sign after it closes.
right? It could before.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I know sometimes on Glenn's for they, but anyway. But we have to make sure that we're warning our children. You know, yes, a lot of times instruction, it's good to instruct, and I'm teaching here pretty soon to while things are happening, going on. But these warnings need to come before. We need to be able, or maybe to look out, because we've been there. We, as an adult, as their parent, we see what can happen, right? We can see past things, so we need to be warning them. Keep,
you know, and that's love. You know, warning is love to me. And sometimes, as a parent, for me as a father, for me, it took me falling, for my daughter's falling for grace, to show them love and warning. You know, to say, hey, watch out, there could be young men a particular way that want a particular thing. And well, how do you know? That question comes, gets sent right back to you. And they'll say, well, how do you know? And you say, well, at one time I used to be a particular way. I want a particular thing.
Sure.
You follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
And it's all about love. To show and guide. And say, hey, you need to watch out for particular things. And the best to be as godlike as possible. But these things are going to come. Even though you can act a particular way or be a particular person.
It's that warning. We need to be warning. Teaching, of course, teaching is a process of imparting knowledge. Teaching is causing someone to know something, is often most powerfully done after a failure or a problem. Why is that? And again, you know how this works, not only in parenting, but also in different things. Why is teaching more effective after a failure?
The example
of that failure. Good. What else?
They've been humbled.
Yeah.
They fail. They, you know, if I've got a student that's getting 100 on every test, day in, day out, and they, you know, are they really looking for, you know, help or no? Because they're getting it. Okay, might be a bad example, but sometimes it takes that failure to say, you know what, I can't do this. I can't, you know, what did I do wrong? Then you're opening yourself to teaching, to instruction, to gain knowledge, because obviously I don't have it, because I failed.
You learn to appreciate when you succeed even more.
Yes. Oh, yes. Because you know the taste of failure. And, And we need prayer. And of course, prayer is not the communication between you and your child, but it's between your child and God. However, hearing what your child prays is like a window into the soul. Has your child ever prayed something that kind of shocked you? Wow. It's kind of like you're, in a way, you're kind of eavesdropping. But, you know, you're not. You're listening. She's praying out loud, or he's praying out loud. And you know, That should clue you in on something. If you hear something, don't just shrug it off. You know, that's something that's in her heart or in his heart. So that is a communication there that we need to be listening to as far as when your children pray. And lastly, count the cost. Communication is a 24/7 commitment. You know as well as I do. You know, it takes time to communicate. And the older our children get, and we've been there. Sometimes, you know, your children, during the day, they don't talk. But then it could be 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. What do they want to do? They want to talk. Well, sometimes you got to, you know, you're tired, you want to go to bed. But they're talking. That's the time. You want to talk.
Turn our light off.
Yes. But it keeps
you
walking. Yeah.
But you don't know what? Even at that time of night, Laverne and I find that, you know, we're extremely exhausted at particular, you know, times at night. You get the most effective parent and shepherd you get done. It's not during the day when you sit down at that time. Sometimes you define that 2-1 X amount of time. And they're so tender to want to listen. Definitely outgoing folk. There's been so many times that I've been late at night. We've got outstanding results. And it's been like, I cannot believe you're here doing this particular thing.
Yeah, it is definitely
it is definitely a 24/7 commitment. And all the time. Communication. Let me pray and let you go. Dear Lord, we do thank you for, again, your goodness to us, your many blessings. And Lord, I know it's a Thanksgiving season and we are so blessed with so many things. We take so many things for granted. And Lord, as we enter this season, I pray that we will not forget, Lord. And we need to be thankful all the time. But Lord, I pray that we'll remember throughout this week that we are and remain thankful to you for all things. Lord, I pray that you'll watch over us, be with those that are traveling, be with the other requests, Lord, that were made. Lord, just guide, direct our paths in all that we say and do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.